Good afternoon, brethren. Glad to see all of you. Speaking of going forward, as Mr. Mills mentioned in the announcements, there was great emphasis put on going forward at the feast in Jackal. In fact, Mr. Stan Martin mentioned that in his closing prayers and the closing prayer for the feast. And, you know, we talked a lot about the Feast of Tabernacles ends the festival for the year, Festival of Holy Days. Then we go into the winter months. And during those winter months, it's easy for us to become, I guess, in a way, just kind of kick back and, you know, not real zealous, and sometimes we can become depressed. And during those times, it's very easy for Satan to come in and take over. You know, we have an immune system, a spiritual immune system, and if it's not taken care of, and Satan can find out through your actions and your thoughts that your immune system, your spiritual immune system is weak, then he has all the opportunity that he would like to come in and really distract you and cause you to be weakened even more. So it's very important that we keep our immune system up and in good shape. You will probably hear several scriptures that I will read today. I will read them probably twice. And it is because I want you to remember those scriptures and that they will be a part of you. If you had children, that all of a sudden they wouldn't stop growing, you would be very concerned about them to the point that you would try to get an answer to this very disturbing condition. Your children just stop growing. But why? First of all, they are your very own children. And secondly, because you have them and care for them and their future, and you realize that they don't mature as they should, then you will become very concerned. They most likely will have problems of some kind in their future if they don't mature. So we, as God's children now, and he views his children's growth in the same way that we view our children's growth. We view the mental and physical growth of our young people. We expect them to be strong and tall with a lot of zeal and enthusiasm. God looks at the spiritual growth of his children in the same light as we do our physical children. It's easy to show why there is a difference in stages of spiritual growth in the church in this age. There are so many distractions out there, brethren, that just pulls and tugs, and I don't mean this by, you know, no bad thoughts or anything, but one of the big distractions in this society now is our cell phones. And you may not agree with this, but I see it every day. And I see the things that, you know, that's happening with these cell phones. And I fought cell phones all the way up 95 coming back from Jackal Island simply because people are on cell phones, and I was merged off of the road because this fellow was trying to text somebody or something. All of these distractions that we have in life is taking its toll on this society. What does it take to grow up and become spiritually mature? Why do some Christians do not grow spiritually as they should. These are fair questions to ask. Well, the Bible, God's Word, He gives us steps to follow, that as we as His children can grow spiritually to the point of perfection. So in today's sermon, I want to give answers to these questions that we can have a better understanding of spiritual growth, just as a true parent would give their children warning of impending danger. So does God do so for His children as well. Please turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Begin reading in verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 3. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your minds by way of reminder. Verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Let's drop down to verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Now, let's drop down to verse 18. It said, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. So, brethren, Christians are people who are forewarned. That is to say, we cannot plead ignorance. We know the right way and its rewards, and we know the wrong ways and its disasters. So God is saying to us today that it is only through Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, that we grow spiritually. So the sermon title today is Growing in Spiritual Perfection. Growing in Spiritual Perfection. And those of us who have been called into the church of God for many years should be weaned from milk by now and on solid foods. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Read verses 12 through 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles and oracles of God, and you have come to need milk, not solid foods. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So it's time, brethren, that we eat and digest the solid foods of God's Word. The times that we are living in is very critical times. And emphasis again, I go back to all the messages that was given at the feast, showing the times that we are living in and the urgencies of people kind of falling asleep by the wayside, not being alert. And this is what we want to really focus on, is spiritual growth. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4. Begin reading in verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, why did he do this? Well, verse 12 tells us the reason why. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the statures and the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. So God expects us, brethren, he has placed in his church the tools that we can use to grow by. And God expects us to grow. But the good news is God never asks or tells us to do something without showing us how, and it's no different when it comes to growing spiritually. So I'm going to give you four steps to spiritual maturity according to the scriptures that God wants us to use as his children, because we should never become satisfied with the state of our spiritual growth. We should never be satisfied, brethren. We always should be on the upward goal, pressing forward. This is what Apostle Paul said, pressing forward. So we should be seeking to grow more spiritually every day. So I want to give you then four steps to spiritual maturity. Step number one is having a desire to grow. You know, we must want to grow. We will never grow unless we want to grow. God will not twist our arms. God will not plead with us to grow. He created man a free moral agency. We must want to grow with all our being, constantly seeking God's will for our lives. As parents, we remember how our children would always desire to grow up. And this is no different. They want to do that now because they want a car. They want to do different things in life, which their youth situation now holds them back. But you can ask the average young person, and you will find that they want to grow up. There's so much out there for them to attain. God will always and constantly seek to help us grow. And as parents, this is something that we become a part of with our teenagers as we teach them, helping them to grow up and to do the right things in life. And this is what we need to have. This is the type of attitude we should have as adults. We want to grow spiritually. We want to do what is right. Because God is looking at our growth status. But this gives us an analogy as to how God looks at on us as his spiritual children. First Peter Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. We will read this verse again before we finish as well. 2 Peter chapter 2. In verse 2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So this is a strange thing to say, but it's a sad thing to say as well. And there are people who seem to be satisfied with their spiritual growth. They don't want to advance any further. But being a baby is not the goal of life. We are born babies so we can grow up to be productive and useful adults. Likewise, we are to become mature Christians, actively serving God. Some who once wanted to grow have seemingly to lost the zeal. They develop spiritual indifference and are negligence. And there are others who have had a level of maturity and then became stagnated. They became satisfied, thinking that no more growth is necessary and is needed. Because when your spiritual immune system becomes weakened, as I said before, then Satan will take control. The scriptures teach that growth is always needed. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Let's begin reading in verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Apostle Paul forgot the past achievements and the failures, but pressed on to greater accomplishments. And this is what God wants us to do as well. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We will see in these verses how important it is to be fully grounded and with strength and stability in God's way. Because if we're not, as I said before, it's easy for Satan to come by and distract us from the things that we should be doing. Matthew chapter 26, let's begin reading in verse 31. Read verses 31 through 35. Matthew chapter 26. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you in Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And, you know, I think at that point when he said that, I think he really meant it. But I don't know about his immune system at that time. I don't know how it was. We'll see. But I think when he spoke those words, he was sincere. And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Verse 35, Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." Now let's go over to verse 71. Begin reading in verse 71. "And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, 'This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you.' Then he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I do not know the man.' Immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him before the rooster crows, 'You will deny me three times.' So he went out and wept bitterly." So let's notice a very important scripture, a companion scripture to this. Let's notice 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Because this goes back to what we said a few minutes ago in making sure that we are well grounded in the faith, and that we are holding on and our immune system is 100% if possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." So this is why I said, brethren, it's dangerous for myself, it's dangerous for you, anyone, to become satisfied in thinking that we don't need to grow, that we're okay, that I can withstand anything that comes up, that I'm spiritually mature enough that Satan can't take charge of me. We should never think that. But we should always go forward in every way, improving ourselves in spiritual growth. So this shows how important it is to grow spiritually and become mature. And this is why we must have step number two. Step number two is nourishment. Step number two is nourishment. When we fast, it's not long before the day of fasting that you realize your body is telling you that it needs nourishment of some kind. We become kind of drowsy and, you know, weak in the body and that type of thing. And when it comes to nourishment, we know that a child cannot grow physically without proper food. Even as adults, we know we need food and don't like to go long without it. Even in between our meals that we eat, you know, we always have to have some little snacks and things to go along with that. So it's showing us, we want to emphasize this, that nourishment is very important. And spiritual nourishment is more important than physical nourishment. We want it every day, twice to three times a day, our physical food, and sometimes with snacks in between. But what about our spiritual food? And so it is true when it comes to spiritual food. Without feeding on God's word, we will not grow. 1 Peter, go back again to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, let's turn there. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. So here we have a command to grow. God is telling us to grow, not become stagnant. In Matthew chapter 4, in verse 4, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Christ said, but he, and he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So this shows us how important it is to have God's word embedded in us, that we can feed from the word of God, be nourished, be corrected from the word of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. But speak in the truth, and love may grow up in all things and to him who is the head of Christ. So, brethren, nourishment comes to us in two ways. It comes to us by listening, which shows the importance of regular Sabbath attendance. Secondly, it comes to us by reading and studying God's word. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 5 is not pleased with the spiritual growth in the church. He was not pleased at that time. Here he is faced to face with a problem which confronts the church in every generation, that of the same Christians after years and years go by, sometimes they refuse to grow up. And we had a command from God's apostle, what we read in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, where he said, we are to grow. We are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But how do we do that unless we listen to the messages on the Sabbath? Unless we read from the word of God, we can't accomplish this. This is the key element here. Let's notice what the writer of Hebrews has to say about those who refuse to grow. Hebrews chapter 5, we'll be reading this from the NIV for clearer understanding. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, from the NIV. So we have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still as an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So, brethren, there are Christians, as we said, who refuse to grow. There are those who still think that their lifestyle is okay as they are. They see no need to change. There are Christians who have never grown up in the right behavior. So we don't want to be in this category. We don't want to be in this state of mind. We must ask ourselves, do we take the opportunity as it comes our way to grow? And this should be every day. I say that we learn something every day. God puts something before us every day that we can learn thereby. And we might just push it off to the side and don't think much about it. But there's always something, even if it's patience, whatever. There's always something there that God puts before us to grow. Can we see these things, and do we refuse to make use of them? What can God use us for in the kingdom if we are not growing? I think this is something we should ask ourselves. This should be the question for all of us here today. As we grow, we need to develop in the growth which brings us to step number three. Step number three, exercise and patience. For an athlete, exercise is important. I know this movie star on TV that has this program called Rangers, and he also advertises exercise equipment. But they were asking him last week, why does he exercise? And he went into all details. But one thing, he said, when someone comes by and feel my arms, he said they can tell what condition that I am in because of my muscle tone. So I thought, you know, if I am exercising God's ways, can someone come by and discern whether or not I am a Christian? Or my body so flabby and not muscular enough that they can't see God in my life? There's a lot of things that we can think about in this. To become strong in our prayers, we should pray often. I'll just read this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. We are admonished to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. But let's turn to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And I've always thought that this was an individual thing for all of us, that we should seek to ask God, what is His will in me? What do you want me to do? Let me please you, God. Show me what you want me to do. Have a good spiritual understanding. All of these things that we are trying to build is character, and we should be faithful to exercise. We should be faithful to exercise in prayer, build our faith, reading and gaining more understanding into the Word of God, and being faithful in serving God's people. 1 Timothy chapter 4. There's some more things that we should use to exercise in growing spiritual patience. Chapter 4, begin reading in verse 7. Read verse 7 and 8. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Go back to Hebrews chapter 5. We will repeat this verse again. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. But solid foods belong to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So like children, brethren, we must become an athlete or a musician. We practice over and over again and again. And I'm sure the young lady playing the piano today, she didn't just walk up and start playing that piano. She has hours and hours and hours of undue practice. Hasn't been easy. But you see the maturity that is developing. And this is the same way, brethren, that we must do as Christians, developing as an athlete. Just keep practicing and practicing and practicing to achieve the goal that is set before us. Because the athlete either works hard to build strength, faith, character, and endurance, and will set his or her mind to go all the way to win the prize. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll begin reading in verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Do you not know that those who run, but only one received the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Verse 25. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Verse 26. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. You see, we have to, because we live in the flesh, we have to fight the flesh daily. I'm not telling you nothing that you don't know. But you have to bring it, into subjection. You have to discipline, because the flesh does not want to obey God. Trust me, it don't. And if we don't discipline the flesh will do its own thing because it is human nature. So here in these verses, Apostle Paul uses two illustrations to describe the Christian way of life. It helps us better to understand our role as God's people. Let's notice Ephesians chapter 1. I'm sorry, let's Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Now, this is what he says, to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. That is the first one. And secondly, we are to be faithful soldiers and fight the good fight until the end. So Apostle Paul also talks about what it takes to reach this goal. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We will read verses 6 through 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day. And not me only, but also all who have loved his appearance. So we, you know, we should look for God to say the same thing to us. 1 Peter chapter 1. Read verses 13 through 16, and I will read this once again from the NIV. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 from the NIV. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As an obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you and holy is holy, so be holy in all you do. Verse 16. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So this is an admonishment here from Peter. And this brings us to step number 4. To grow in spiritual maturity, we must have patience. So step number 4 is time and patience. By definition, growth requires time and patience. But for so many years that goes by, so many people are still babes. They are still on milk. Why is this? Why are they still on milk? What has happened to those people after all these years? One thing we must say, our loving God has patience with all of us. So let's notice some scriptures that will give us the answer to these questions as to why we don't grow as we should. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, begin reading in verse 4, again from the NIV. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. So this verse just shows plainly that, you know, God is having patience with us. He's waiting on us to grow. So here we can see this verse, God's mercy, long-suffering toward us. He deals with those who are slow in spiritual growth. No, he will not abandon us. But there are reasons why we don't grow as we should, brethren, and it's our own fault and not God's. It's not God's fault that we don't grow. Let's notice verse 19 in the NIV, James chapter 1. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about righteous life that God desires. Verse 21, therefore get rid of all the moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So this verse says a lot, because he's saying that it just tells us that somewhere along the line we have had the right words planted in us, but we did not use them. So they're still there, waiting to be material, growth taking place with it. So, brethren, we have the key instructions here on what we must do to obtain spiritual growth. But let's notice verse 22. This is the key to our growth right here. Verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. That's what the NIV says. Do what the word of God says. This is how we grow. Anyone who listens to the word, verse 23, but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. Verse 24, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So, you know, here again, if we listen to the word and do what it says, we will be blessed. Blessed to spiritual maturity. So while we are in this life, we should be thankful to all the tools that God has given us. Growing to spiritual maturity is not easy, but at the same time, we should not become discouraged by mistakes and rebukes. How often does a child fall while learning to walk? They fall again and again and again, gathering bumps and bruises. They spill their milk. They cannot hold their spoon properly. They fall off their bikes. They continue to be corrected and punished by their parents for mistakes they make. But this is part of growing up to become an adult. And so it is with us, brethren. We may from time to time become discouraged. We may make mistakes, and we may be rebuked. But the key point is we must continue to grow. God is very concerned about our growth. Some of the greatest characters in the Bible committed terrible errors in their lifetime. And they were, of course, corrected and rebuked. Moses made excuses when he called him, when God called him to lead the children out of bondage. David committed adultery and was rebuked by Nathan. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Paul persecuted the Christians before his conversion. Thomas doubted Jesus' resurrection. The entire apostle forsook Jesus when he was arrested and crucified. Yet all of these are those that are remembered as some of God's greatest servants. Great servants are not people who live without sinning, but people who learn from their mistakes and continue to press on to spiritual maturity. The Old Testament provides a fine example of God's view of spiritual growth. Notice how God describes ancient Israel's growth into an inheritance promise in the Promised Land. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. Again, reading in verse 28. This is from the King James, New King James Version, of course. Exodus chapter 23, verse 28. And I will send hornets before you, which will drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites from before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. So God is going to take his time here. He's having patience. Little by little, verse 30, little by little I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. So we will come into an inheritance in the kingdom of God. And, you know, God is not going to rush us in doing these things because he has patience. He wants us to learn as we go by in life. And one of the things that, you know, I thought of when I was reading this, very poor was my lifestyle when I was small. We didn't have very much. And my mom was only able to purchase one pair of blue jeans a year. We got one pair of shoes a year. We never got a pair of blue jeans that would fit us. And she was wise in thinking about that. We rolled the blue jeans up because she wanted us to grow to fit those blue jeans. So I thought about this when I was reading this verse. You know, God wants us to grow to fit the kingdom of God. You know, and us just jump over the fence and, you know, we have to be mature. We have to grow to fit the kingdom of God. And this is what the Israelites, he drove those hornets into the land, but he didn't drive the inhabitants out all at once. He did that slowly. So by doing that, they could learn, they could appreciate. So I appreciated my mother being wise enough not to buy some tight jeans and I wouldn't have any jeans for that year when the weather was cold, because we couldn't wear shoes in the summer. We didn't have but one pair of shoes. So we shed those shoes and went barefoot. But it's different in these days. But I'm just saying that, you know, God wants us to look at the things that surround us and be on the upward increase always in doing His will and living His way. So God promised to conquer our enemies, Satan, and the world around us if we just stick by His side. So we go back to the final scripture, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Again, this is what Paul is saying, verse 14, 15, and 16 of Philippians 3. It says, I press toward the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. So, in conclusion, brethren, during these winter months, be sure to keep our spiritual immune system healthy. Don't let Satan rob you of the kingdom of God.